But Christ as the Son over his own house, and we
learned that the house is the what?
The church.
The church? Or? And or? Starts with F. Family. Yes. Whose house are we? Whose family are we? Whose house are we if? Do you like that word if? Such a small word with such big meaning. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. If, that's conditional. Whose house are we? Whose family members are we? If. Yes. It's not just saying it. If a man say, the Bible says, but he doesn't manifest proof, he's a liar. That's what God says. If he says it, if he says, I'm a child of God, and he hates his brother, God says, you're a liar. So there's an if there. If you love your brother. If you hold fast. Now we're changing here a little. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. These four that just jumped to their feet. Happy about salvation, ready to boast in their salvation, are the ones that just took care of the if. We have to know for certain, and not only know for certain, but we have to be ready in an instant to give an answer to any man that asketh you a reason of the hope that lieth in you with meekness and fear. That's what this is talking about. That's what this is talking about. If we hold fast the confidence, that's not a secret confidence. Not when you study this. And the rejoicing of the hope. Rejoicing. Hard to jump to your feet if you're not rejoicing, and it's hard to say you're a member of the family of God if you're not rejoicing. Ooh, it sounds tough. But this is what he's saying before he gets into a great, big, sober, serious warning. And so let's just go over this. Now, the book of Hebrews, I thank God for it, because it gives us both sides of the coin, both sides of the picture, both sides of the church, both sides of the people of God, both sides of the members of the family of God. You got to have this, but you also have to have this. You got to have heads, you got to have tails. Both sides. Okay? But Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we if? Everybody say if. If. There's a big if between us and what we claim. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. I hope that by the time we end this portion of Scripture that everybody will be able to jump to their feet. Say, I'm saved. Send a sinner in here. I'll tell them I'm saved. Let me cross paths with somebody looking for Jesus out in the world, and I'll be bold. I'll be confident. I'll be quick to answer. Praise the Lord. But Christ is a son over his own family, whose family are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing, the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. There's a requirement for being a member of the family of God, and it says, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Confidence. For you students, number 3954 in your Strong's Greek Dictionary. And it means freedom and boldness of speech. Now don't do it now again, but I ask, how many of you are saved? Everybody raise a hand. How many of you have a testimony? And four of you jump to your feet. Now that's the way to be. The rest of us need to be like those four that had a testimony like that on the spot. They didn't have to think. They didn't have to prepare a testimony. They didn't have to get out their Bibles. They didn't have to pray through. They were ready just like that. That's what the Bible's talking about. Peter said it. Be ready. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always. Be ready always. Boy, I didn't feel like it, Brother Tambor. Ha ha. Peter said, be ready always. But I didn't know you were going to call on us. Peter said, be ready always. But I didn't know I was going to meet that sinner who was crying and hungry for God, contemplating suicide. Peter said, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now that's the way Christians, family members of God's family, are supposed to be. Ready. Instantly ready. Constantly ready. Always ready. So confidence, number 3954, means freedom and boldness of speech. Now he says you're a member of the family of God if you have this freedom and boldness of speech. If you're like one of the four this morning that jumped to their feet, yes, I haven't thought through what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say one thing for sure. Jesus saves, and he saved me. Praise the Lord. I do have a testimony. I do have something to say. So confidence here means freedom and boldness of speech. And then it goes on and says, as expressive of full conviction and the absence of fear. Brother Tamberg wants me to testify. Well, there's a little bit of human fear and natural fear, but perfect love casteth out fear. I love him. He saved me. I am not afraid to declare that he saved me and that I'm thankful for it and that I love him. So confidence is freedom and boldness of speech as expressive of full conviction and absence of fear. And that's diametrically opposed to silence and hesitation. These are all from Greek studies. Diametrically opposed to silence and hesitation. Do you have to hesitate? Do you choose to remain silent? Whose house are we if we hold fast the freedom and boldness of speech? If we refuse to be silent and are not prone to hesitate? And that says silence and hesitation as expressive of doubt and timidity. As expressive of doubt and timidity. Well, I'd jump up and say I knew I was saved if I really knew I was saved. Well, that's something you have to settle. That's something you have to settle. Timidity, that's something you have to overcome. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to overcome timidity. I don't want to be that timorous person afraid to open my mouth and say, I'm a child of God. How come you're not smoking with the rest of us? How come you're not taking a cocktail with the rest of us? It's cocktail hour, don't you know? Well, my church won't let me. I would. I really want to, you know, and I can handle my liquor, but my church won't let me. I don't see anything wrong with smoking, but my church won't let me. You see, I probably should change churches, or somebody might suggest you change churches. That timidity. Why not be like the Bible tells us to be and just stand up and say, I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't carouse because I'm a child of God.
Amen.
He saved me. And then go ahead and preach a little. Testify to people. Hallelujah. Do you think these Greek words are right?
Yes.
Amen. Confidence means, and you can look it up in your Strong's too, and you'll see it there in more concise terminology, precise terminology. Freedom and boldness of speech as expressive of full conviction and the absence of fear. We are members of God's family if we have freedom and boldness of speech. I don't mean to be haranguing on this, but I think some people are going to just pass over this lightly if I don't drill it into our hearts. God wants us to be free in our speech and bold in our speech and not silent and not hesitant. He wants us to have a full conviction and he wants us to experience the absence of fear. Every one of us that claim to be members of God's family need to have that freedom and boldness of speech. Every one of us need to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh us a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. We have to be meek, yes, but we have to have that full conviction and have no doubt and not be silent. How many times have we sensed a hungry soul reaching out and we have remained silent? Wrong. Put the big red X through it. Wrong. No left turn here. No right turn here. No smoking here. Put the big X through it. It's wrong for us to be silent. It's wrong for us to be timid when it comes to telling others about what Jesus has done for us. Amen. So, we as family members, members of the family of God, are to constantly be ready to state our faith in Jesus and to defend the truth. But Brother Tamper, I've worked at this place for 8 years now. And I know everybody there. And everybody knows me, and I have never witnessed to them yet. I don't dare witness to them now. If I do, what if they ask me when I got saved? I've been saved 10 years, 15 years. And I've worked at this place 8 years, and I've never witnessed. I don't dare witness now. I mean, I'll bring reproach to the gospel if I witness now. Oh, if I could only start over, get saved tonight, and go to work tomorrow and say, hey, folks, you know what happened to me last night? I got saved. Listen, I know what goes through the hearts and minds of people. I've done enough talking to people to know how they feel about these things. Let me tell you something. If you've been saved 800 years and you've never witnessed, when you go to work tomorrow, witness. And if they ask you when you got saved, you say 800 years ago, but I just got smart today. I just became obedient today. We have got to be ready and willing to admit to people that we're witnessing to that we also are human. I'll tell you something about witnessing. You probably have a lot more success if you witness to somebody that knows you're human than if you witness to somebody and get them thinking you're some kind of a perfect God that's never made a mistake. Amen. They're going to think there's hope for them. If they know you got saved 15 years ago, you made a mistake 2 weeks ago, but you haven't made it for 2 weeks, they're going to say, hey, I'd like to try that church. Maybe I'll be able to make a mistake and get back up on my feet. That sounds good to me. That sounds good to a lot of people. A lot of people look at us and think because we don't drink, spit, smoke, and chew, you know, that we're saints, that we're just angelic, that we don't make any mistakes. They don't know the little struggles that you and I have in our hearts. They don't know that little hasty word that we said to our husband or wife or children. They don't know the struggles we're having. And if we present ourselves as perfect to them, they're not going to want our religion. Not that we should purposely make mistakes so they can see we're wrong. No. But if you haven't witnessed before, get smart. Witness tomorrow. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason of the hope that is in you. Amen. And do it with meekness and fear. Fear of God, not fear of man. The fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of God will bring you salvation. Amen. So, we are to be constantly ready to state our convictions and to defend the truth that we believe. And we are to do it with confidence. That means do it openly, do it boldly, do it plainly, do it freely. That's what confidence means. That word confidence in Hebrews 3:7-6 means that, in fact, it's from the same Greek word translated boldness in Acts 4:29. Remember in Acts 4:29, the apostles were persecuted, beaten, and they went back to their group, to their family members, and they prayed this, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, with all confidence, they may speak thy word." Hallelujah. That's what he's telling us here. Whose house are we if we hold fast the freedom and boldness of speech. Don't doubt your salvation. Just get out there and practice it now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Just get out there and practice it. You know, the reason we have new converts in this church is because somebody boldly proclaimed the truth they believed.
Amen.
Just think, people wouldn't be here if somebody didn't go to an event and witness to somebody else. Just think of how many of us wouldn't be here, how many of us wouldn't be here. Amen. So when he says, give us boldness, he's saying, give us confidence. Give us that freedom and boldness of speech, full conviction, absence of fear. Let us not be silent. Let us not hesitate. Let us not have doubt and timidity, but let us testify. Let us give an answer. Amen. Now Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, in other words, that person that excuses themselves from witnessing because it's just not their nature. They're too timid by nature. That's too bad. The Bible says don't be. That's too bad if you got that kind of a nature. Take it to the cross. Take it to the altar. Get rid of that. You cannot justify yourself because you're timid. You cannot excuse yourself from witnessing because you're timid by nature. God won't have it. He calls it ashamed. And he says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, not only ashamed of me, but ashamed of my words. Huh? Somebody said, they read a bumper sticker and said, if you love Jesus, honk your horn. A ooga, you know, or burp, burp. If you love Jesus, honk your horns. People going down the road, passing the car, they read the bumper sticker and drive by and hold the victory sign up, blow their horn. And somebody else got a bumper sticker and says, if you love Jesus, pay your tithes. Oh. Oh, you mean it's not just enough to say it? I have to do something about my religion? Yeah, that's the message. So he says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, and of my words. A lot of people say, I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I love Jesus. He's my Savior. But they're ashamed of His words. Because His words say, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. They're a little afraid to be different than the rest of the world. So they're ashamed of His words. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. I'll receive you. I'll be your father. You'll be my sons. You'll be my daughters. But a lot of people are afraid to come out of the world. They're ashamed of His words. They're not ashamed of Jesus. They're ashamed of His words. And I could give, I suppose, hundreds and hundreds of more illustrations. You can work that out yourself. So, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. I don't want Jesus to look at me and say, oh, I'm ashamed to have him near me. Push him back, push him back. Push him over the cliff. Yeah. I'm ashamed of him. I don't want him in heaven. I don't want him around. Ooh, man, he's ashamed. He was ashamed of me. He wouldn't speak for me. I'm not speaking for him. Isn't that what Mark 8:38 is saying? Whosoever shall be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of him. Praise the Lord. Now we have to hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. Too many people say they're saved, but their face doesn't show it. Their lifestyle doesn't show it. They don't have the joy to manifest their confidence. I'm going to look at some of you now and see if you can smile. You can do better than that. There you go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If we hold fast the confidence, now remember now what confidence is, that's that freedom and boldness of speech. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We don't just state our confidence, we exude our confidence with joy. The rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. We know we're saved, therefore we rejoice. We know we're saved, therefore we pop up out of our seat and say, yes, Brother Tamrick, I've got a testimony. I'm saved. That's all I can say right now, but I'm saved. Confidence. Rejoicing. I know I'm saved and I'm so glad about it. I found the joy my longing spirit craved. He is so real to me. Praise the Lord. I know I'm saved. Amen. How many know they're saved? Amen. Praise the Lord. Makes you want to put both feet up in the air too. Then you'll have an accident. Hallelujah. Things just come into my mind now. I don't know who, I'm not a sports enthusiast, so I don't know who ran the first 4-minute mile. But can you imagine the first guy that broke that barrier and how confident he must have been when he would go to another race and he had probably done it time after time and nobody else could do it, nobody in the world, but he could do it. Can you see the expression on his face? 4-minute mile? Anybody here going to heaven? You're in a crowd, you're at the company Christmas party. Anybody here going to heaven? Everybody goes, you know, and you go. Confidence, rejoicing of the hope. Paul Anderson, Christian, years ago, weightlifting contest in Russia. Nobody in the world could put 400 pounds over their head like this. Nobody in the world could do it. He watched those Russians, and they watched him because he never went up. And they thought that the Russian who lifted 350, 75, whatever, was the world champion. And they looked at him and said, aren't you going to lift? He said, you haven't called my weight yet. Well, how much can you lift? He says, put 415 pounds on there. And they all go, they turn white. He's just smiling. And so this 5'9" monster reaches down, supposed to be a Christian man, going around teaching kids how to love Jesus, reaches down, takes that weight, puts it up here, pushes it up over his head, and those Russians went wild. They went wild. I mean, they love this man. Here's the strongest man in the world. This is years ago. I don't know who the strongest man in the world is. I know some guys out there look tough, you know. But but this guy had confidence, see? He had confidence, and he didn't hesitate. He was open. He was free. He was bold. And he said, put on 415 pounds. Just like that. Just like you sitting at the Christmas party. Call on me for a testimony. I'm telling you the truth. I went to a Christmas party one time. I think my wife was holding me down. I wanted to get right up on the food table. I wanted to jump right up there and stand up there and say, hear ye, hear ye. Jesus saves. Oh, I was just shaking, trembling, sitting in my chair at the Christmas party, talking in tongues. I think we're on the right track. Amen. So, freedom and boldness of speech as expressive of full conviction and the absence of fear as opposed to silence and hesitation as expressive of doubt and timidity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many want to do better witnessing? Yes. Amen. Amen. Then let's ask the Lord to help us. Yes. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone here this morning that raised their hands. I pray that you give them a soul yet in 1991. Oh God, let them bring that soul to their knees. Let them bring that soul to the church. Let them see that soul to the altar. Let them watch as that soul goes into the water, the baptismal waters, and buried in your precious name. Lord, let them rejoice when they break the burial waters and come forth speaking in a new language, Lord. Jesus, I pray for everyone here this morning who wants that boldness, Lord, that openness, that freedom to speak the truths of your word, Lord, and defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Bless everyone, Lord. I pray that they will take action on what they have thought, heard, and expressed this, that they want this morning by raising their hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Revelation 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death. You see, he didn't just say, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. He said, you got to hold it firm unto the end. Not till this semester is over, or not till this school year is finished, but firm unto the end, like Jesus said to the church at Smyrna, be thou faithful unto blood. Be thou faithful unto no more breathing. Be thou faithful unto death. And I will give thee a crown of life. Some people are going to squeeze all they can out of this life, but some people are willing to give up this life to gain eternal life. Yeah. They're the wise ones. Hallelujah. We got to hold it firm unto the end. Be thou faithful unto death. In Daniel 3, there's a story about three Hebrew young men. And they were threatened with the furnace. They were being forced to bow down and worship the king's image. But here's how they answered. The king wanted to give them more time to think it over because he loved these three boys, these three godly boys. We call them Christian boys in 1991. In the Old Testament, there was no such thing as a Christian. They were God-fearing boys, members of the family of God. And these three young Hebrew men, when offered more time to think over whether they wanted to recant, renounce their faith in God, and then they could escape the fire, said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar. See? Confidence. Rejoicing. You just find it here now. Find the confidence and find the rejoicing. Find the freedom and boldness of speech. That's confidence. Okay. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar. We are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if he doesn't, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods. No, you're not going to throw us in the fire, are you? They didn't say that. They had a great big smile on their face. You can be sure. They were confident and they were rejoicing in their hope. Their hope wasn't escaping the fiery furnace. Their hope was escaping the lake of fire. Hallelujah, making heaven their home. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And of course, they went in the fire. There was somebody else in the fire, and he's still in the fire. Hallelujah. The quartet reminds us of that once in a while. Praise the Lord. I read about a man named Basil. B-A-S-I-L. He was a member of the family of God. He was facing martyrdom at the hands of Emperor Julian. When he was offered time to reconsider renouncing Christ, Basil, without hesitation, made this statement. Do what you intend, for I will be the same tomorrow that I am today. Oh, I love that. I love that. If you're going to do it, I don't need any time because I'm not changing. You change your mind if you want, but I'm not changing mine. Amen. Because I have confidence and I have the rejoicing of the hope. And I'm going to hold it firm unto the end. And the hangman's noose or the guillotine or the sword or the fiery furnace won't change my mind. Or the den of lions or whatever they had. Amen. We got to have this confidence and this rejoicing. They go together. You can't have one without the other. You can't have confidence without rejoicing. And you have nothing to rejoice over if you don't have confidence. They go together. They are Siamese twins. You kill one, the other dies with it. They're connected in the brain. Amen. Oh, So the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. That puts a smile on your face. If not a smile on your face, it's put joy in your soul. It'll put joy in your soul. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him firm unto the end, unto that day. Firm unto the end. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, I love this Bible. I love this gospel way. Praise the Lord. Let me read to you from Luke, the first chapter. First verse. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. See, the Christian has a common faith. The Christian has a common enemy. The Christian has a common trial. The Christian has a common goal. The Christian has a common destination. But right here, the Christian has a common faith. And the Bible talks about the common faith. Those things which are most surely believed among us. Do you believe it? Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, that's Luke, having had better understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty. These things are certain. These things are sure. These things you can stand on. These things are rock hard. Amen. These things won't shift. They won't move on you. They're established, praise the Lord, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And that's the place we have to come to. That's why I teach and preach the Word of God. Brother Bennett and I teach and preach the Word of God. And we listen. We're good. We're better than the Bereans, or the Thessalonians. We're like the Bereans. We go home. We open our Bible. What did Brother Bennett say? What did Brother Tamberg say? Let's look that up, honey, and see if that's right. Read it in the Bible. Study it in the Greek. Figure it out and pray it through. Praise the Lord. And then you say, they're right. The Word of God is true. It is certain. I most surely believe this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter 1:16. Peter said, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, not cunningly devised fables. Our hope is not some passing fancy or some wild imagination or some strange idea or arbitrary idea. No, our hope is, and according to the scripture, steadfast and sure.
Praise the Lord.
And you know, it talks about the anchor when it says steadfast and sure with the two flukes. You know, steadfast and sure. Anchor. Two flukes, steadfast and sure. Well, we are anchored in Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you look at that anchor. It has the appearance of a smile. Which anchor, anchor we have. It's steadfast. It's sure. Praise the Lord. Oh, I like that. Amen. So he says, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. I know I'm saved, therefore I rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Those who cannot rejoice surely do not have much confidence. If anybody believes that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Those who cannot rejoice do not have much confidence. So he says, hold this confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. I like that song Linda Bajinski sings, The Race. Not the one who runs the swiftest, nor the one who shines for a day, but the one who endureth, he shall be saved. He that endureth unto the end, Jesus said, shall be saved. So we got to hold fast this hope firm unto the end. I will cling to the old rugged cross. I'll grasp it with both hands. Out in the raging sea of life, I'm going to cling to the old rugged cross. I won't let go. I'm going to grip it firmly. I refuse to loosen my grip. I'll be persistent. I'll be tenacious. I will persevere. I will cling. Hallelujah. I'm going to hold fast, firm, unto the end. That confidence and rejoicing of the hope. Praise the Lord. Now, I have no reason in the universe to doubt my salvation. And if you're saved this morning, you have no reason in the world to doubt your salvation. But some people do doubt their salvation. And, oh, I love to preach. I love to preach about the confidence that we should have in our salvation. I love to preach it. You've heard me preach it over and over in this church. Keep coming and you'll hear it again. Because I can't leave it alone. I'm so confident that I'm saved. And it makes me happy all the live long day. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have no reason to doubt my salvation. I have all kinds of reasons to doubt myself. So you know what I've decided? I better not trust in myself for my salvation. I better put my trust in Him whom I have no reason to doubt. Can you let that sink in? Let me say it again. I have no reason to doubt my salvation. I have every reason to doubt myself. I can look at myself and say I'll never make it. I can look at myself and say I'm unworthy. Well, I'm right when I say I'm unworthy. I'm not wrong. I'm not in disagreement with God when I say I'm unworthy. He'll say, that's right. You tell God you're unworthy, He'll say, that's right. If you listen, you'll hear Him. Say, no argument there. No argument there. Amen. So I'm right when I say I'm unworthy of His salvation. I'm right when I say I'm unworthy of Him. I'm right when I say I'm unworthy of His blood. I'm right when I say I'm worthy of having His Spirit in me. I'm right when I say I'm worthy to go to heaven. I'm unworthy to go to heaven. I'm absolutely right, and God won't argue with me. Amen. In fact, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. Jesus didn't argue with him at all. John, remember when you said you weren't worthy to bear my shoes? Oh, you are too. Jesus never brought the subject back up. Never. He never disagreed with John the Baptist at all. John said he was unworthy, and Jesus, yeah, sure, unworthy. Remember the centurion? Answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Jesus didn't argue with the centurion. Didn't argue with him at all. Not at all. But we have the answer in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy. So when you say you're not worthy, heaven shouts, amen, you're not worthy. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. God manifest in the flesh, weep not. The first Christmas, weep not. There's a little manger in Bethlehem, weep not, weep not. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our God has come to save us, and He comes in the form of man. He takes on human flesh, blood, bones. Praise the Lord. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Weep not. This man never sinned for 33 and a half years. Weep not. They're erecting a cross. Weep not. They nail him to it. Weep not. He is suspended between heaven and earth. Weep not. He says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. Weep not. He's put in the grave. Weep not. He comes forth from the grave, victorious over hell, death, and the grave. Weep not. He ascends into heaven. Weep not. He has assumed his position at the right hand of God as our eternal high priest. Weep not. You can rejoice and have confidence in your salvation. You're not worthy, but one man was found worthy. His name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. And our confidence is not in ourselves. It is in Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm right when I say I'm not worthy. He's right when he says, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Fantastic. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. Hello, unworthy. Hello, unworthy. I hear it coming back. That's why when we come to church, we don't worship one another. That's why when we come to church, we lift our hands upward and we worship Him. That's why when we come to church, we shout with a voice of triumph unto God. We clap our hands unto the Lord. That's why we kneel before Him. We bow our knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. No man was not worthy. But He came. He's worthy. That's what worship's all about. We worship the worthy one. Let's stand and worship Him.